D1, number 12A.
Everything is the impulsion of the divine idea. That's quite clear. Human reasoning, human efforts are just nothing compared with that idea which is going on in being and which was going on long before the human brain was construed. The divine idea is that which matters. Human thinking has just to give way. And the more we are willing to give way happily, easily, to that influx of the divine idea ever precipitating itself on human consciousness, the happier we are. The more natural the whole thing is. Here we have the word, and I bring it into relationship on the level of Christian Science now, but I start always on the top. Here we have the right word, you see, which says, being is, I'm self-existent. But then this self-existence has an idea. And so on the level of absolute Christian Science, this self-existence really manifests itself as the creative impulsion of the Word of God, as the newness of the Word of God, as the revelation of the Word of God. But what does it do? To darkness, to ignorance, to human thought. And that's the level of Christian Science. There, that revelation of God dispels ignorance, dispels darkness. And so we experience that word on the level of Christian Science as seeking, as the breaking of the light, as a new vista, as a new discovery, as an ordered way of learning and understanding God. Can you see how very different the word is here now than in the other levels? And yet, how the whole thing is one consecutive descent of the right idea until it touches ignorance. So, for us, therefore, a new discovery is not just something that happens out of the blue. Therefore, for us, a new vista of being is not just something that just happens because you are chosen one or not chosen one and so on, or because you had good luck. No, it's a divine idea. And the more we open ourselves, see, that's on the level of Christian Science, the Word. The more we open ourselves to the light, the more that light of absolute Christian Science can come in as revelation, and that revelation will be as big and greater, the more we see that we are in one infinite life. That's the word in divine science. Now I've gone up the ladder. Have you seen? We can go down the ladder or up the ladder. Let's go down the ladder together. It's a divine idea. We can't help it. It's working. It's working right here, right now, at every moment, at every place, because of the word in divine science. Because the word in divine science says, I exist. I am. I am what I am. I am the one life, the one word, the one declaration of being. The self-declaration of being. And because that is the fact in divine science, that self-declaration of being comes to us as newness of revelation. It translates itself to individual ideas of revelation, of newness, of life. And what does it do to my ignorance? And I come to the level of Christian Science. What it does is that it dispels, discards, or dissipates my ignorance, and I begin to say, oh, now I begin to see. Now I begin to understand. Oh, now I have discovered something. Oh, I got a new vision. And I begin to seek. That's the word. The word in Christian Science, therefore we can say seeking. The word in Christian Science is creative thinking, maybe an ordered way of reaching more light, more understanding of God. But it has come as the impulse of divine science and absolute Christian science to the point where in me ignorance was willing to give way, where my resistance of having new vision, of looking out for higher ideals, has given way. So each one of us wants to be creative, a creative thinker, a creative worker. Somehow the male element in each one of us wants to go forward, progress. How can we do that? Out of ourselves? Not in the divine. Not in the divine. If we want to go forward in the divine, it is the descent of the Holy Ghost that must do it. And with that we mean that infinite translation from science through divine science, through absolute Christian science to the point of Christian science, which means nothing else than opening our thought on the level of Christian science, opening our thought for the influx of new life. And the more I detach myself from all material conception, the more I'm open to that impact, that impulsion of the Word of God, which always brings revelation. And it brings to me a revelation on the basis of absolute Christian science, the more I open myself to the fact that I already live in the one life, in divine science, that I live and move and have my being in the one life, where all is infinite light. Now we see those correlations. Now we see why we can have revelation. And that it is not something which is of the nature of human effort, but is of the nature of, can I open my consciousness wider, the widest. Then I'm in the one light, infinite light. Again, take that light, which we like so much as a symbol. In divine science, in the Word, we saw that the divine science, the Word of God, says to the darkness, I am an infinite light. I'm infinite light. On the level of absolute Christian science, it doesn't say I'm infinite light. It says, let there be light. It is the demand that this infinite light is going to destroy darkness, ignorance, unwillingness. And so we have that impulse, or in absolute Christian science, let there be light. Let there be. And what happens is, on the level of Christian science, that the light breaks on our thought. And I begin to see something new. There are quite a few books that have been written recently investigating how the genius has come to those people who really had done something, what you call geniusly? Yes. Like artists, compositors, and so on. And most of them say the same thing, that in our language they have started on the level of divine science, were ready to see that that is the source of revelation, of creative thought, the impulse of creative action, and that on the level of Christian science they were willing to accept it. They all say that it is a receptive faculty, receiving the light, and not a, what you could call a productive faculty of the human. We are tempted to think that through productive activity out of the human we can achieve very much. We can't. The big discoveries have usually come through inspiration, through illumination, revelation, or whatever one may call it. Therefore, the initial power is God, is divine science, the Word of God. Let's go to the Christ in Christian Science, on the level of Christian Science. Again, if we start on the top, we have seen that the Christ in divine science is truth as such, truth itself. Being says, I am truth, I am the whole truth, the only truth. That truth is the truth about everything. And the moment I say the truth about everything, I state the relationship between truth and truth's idea. Between principle and idea, and I am on the level of absolute Christian science. I ask, how does that one truth manifest itself specifically as ideas of truth? And so we had in the Christ in absolute Christian science the translation of that one ideal truth to the point of ideal ideas of truth, of the ideal form of everything. If that happens, then it translates itself further to the level of Christian science, which must be that relationship, what does that specific truth do to the specific error, and so we have the impact of divine manifestation in the flesh, in spite of the flesh. So that one truth in divine science, which is the truth about everything in absolute Christian science, is that one truth which in everything corrects the mistake of all errors, and therefore manifests the one truth everywhere in spite of the flesh, in spite of error. And I have that translation, the second translation, where error is translated back into truth. Again, truth in divine science says, I am the truth, the only truth there is. There is no other truth but my truth. It's the only truth there is, and that's all. All right. Then thought goes further and says, yes, that's all right. Therefore, it must be the truth about everything. Yes, that's absolute Christian science. And it shows that therefore the one truth translates itself to the point of true ideas. And that true idea on the level of Christian science translates every error back into truth, translates sickness back into health, translates unhappiness back into happiness. And so the relationship between idea and illusion is stated. Quite natural. Or we take Christianity. Christianity has shown us in divine science the all-encompassing, where everything is included, nothing excluded, the oneness which is drawing together everything into one undivided, inseparable whole. Then thought asks, all right, but how is that expressed as idea? And I see, oh, that all-encompassing fact is expressed or reflected in every situation. There isn't a situation where not the whole is reflected. So that each situation, whatever it is, each proposition, whatever it is, each problem, whatever it is, always must reflect the whole, so that the whole is in the specific, that each individual idea reflects the whole of life, truth, and love. If I see that, then I begin to realize on the level of Christian Science that this is really showing that each idea is complete. But each idea being complete, mortal concept is wiped out. The obliteration of the mortal concept is established. I cannot have a complete idea and next to it a false concept of it. So, on the level of Christian Science, I can see that each idea is in God, and therefore bring back each idea to God and see that everything which is wrong is only animal magnetism. And I get this obliteration of the mortal concept and the pure reflection of each idea. Then we go to Science, the last column, and see how this scientific sense of the levels is precipitating itself on the level of Christian Science. We had, on the level of divine science, the reign of harmony. The reign of harmony. That unity of principle and spiritual power. That expresses itself as self-interpretation of that harmony as the harmony of everything, as the harmony in every situation. It's self-interpreting itself, and as it self-interprets itself, it comes to the human as understanding of the principle. I begin to understand now the whole process of being. And it comes to us as understanding, as a sense of big discovery, as a sense of being scientific, and wipes out all that personal sense of being, all that uncertain sense of being, misunderstanding, misinterpretation, and so on. I begin to understand principle. Then it has come to the point of understanding. Because on the level of divine science doesn't touch human understanding. Because on the level of divine science, principle says, I am what I am, and I know myself as what I am, and that is infinite in its expression, infinite in its fulfillment. But then I must know what this is. And on the level of absolute Christian Science, I begin to realize that this reign of harmony is a calculus of ideas. And I get a calculus of true ideas. And this calculus of true ideas really frees me from the mortal calculus on the level of Christian Science. And therefore you have there that science order which is one of the most interesting order and deepest order, which just frees us completely from thinking in terms of person, of people and situation and anything, and just frees us to the point where we only think in terms of ideas, of the numerals of infinity as an infinite calculus of ideas, and therefore operating in infinite space as the truth about everything. Yes, that's the story as far as it goes now. It's a terrific story. It is an easy story, because the mind of Christ knows it all. The mind of Christ knows it all. It is that the mind of Christ in one view can overlook the whole of everything. The mind of Christ doesn't have to learn this chart. The mind of Christ doesn't have to labor with this chart. The mind of Christ within us is so clear and pure that in the measure as we listen to it, and therefore in the measure as we put aside all material conceptions, and the conceptions which we have to put aside are mortal concepts of me, of people, of the world, of the surrounding, of the future, of the past, of history, of the world, of the cosmos. Everything. Because all these things are human concepts. All of them. They don't exist in being. Being is divine consciousness. And without divine consciousness, we are not taking part in being anyway. What a tremendous gift and grace it is to live in this age where we begin to realize that. Think only of a few thousand years back, how people lived in mythology. What was it that brought us where we are today? Is it our effort? Have we invented being? What was it that pushed mankind out of mythology into a pure spiritual concept of being? The divine idea. It wasn't Mrs. Eddy, it wasn't Mr. Dolly, it wasn't Jesus. It was the divine idea. And that divine idea is that idea which is now working, which is now present as it was always. It's the divine idea which doesn't rest until human consciousness is leavened to the point where it is willing to let go completely of its human conception and let go of a material universe, of a God and of man, and of all that, and accepts being as it is. And that being is the depth of our being, the ground of our being, the basis of our being, and we have it. The whole primal knowledge of being is our knowledge.